Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick. And apparently some people believe in talking donkeys?
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
Alright, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Do you remember what happened yesterday and where the hell we are today?
Well, yesterday we read Jeremiah chapter 38.
We did.
And in that chapter, I believe Jeremiah was trying to tell everyone how they're all going to die and shit. So, there were some guards that, threw him
guards,
in a cistern.
Guards!
They threw him in a cistern, in the muck and the mire and the in the pit and the whatever. And there wasn't enough bread for him and stuff. So, yeah. There was this other person that was working for the king Zedekiah.
Yeah.
And he was like, dude, he's going to die with no bread.
Yeah. It was an Ethiopian eunuch.
Yeah. Yeah. That guy. And so they were like, okay, go get 30 men or 3 men, one of the two, and go save him.
Yeah.
And so they went and saved him. And then they brought him to the king. And the king was like, for the second time, because he'd already talked to him in the past.
This was more than the second time.
Whatever. He's talking to him again. And he's like, hey.
Hey,
what's the real deal? Can you tell me the real deal? And then
God's gonna save us, right? You got a secret miracle in your pocket.
And Jeremiah's like, dude, I've told you this. Are you just gonna kill me? What's gonna happen? Why should I tell you?
Yeah.
And he's like, do you promise do you swear you won't do anything bad? And he's like, I swear to God, I'm not gonna do anything bad. And then Jeremiah's like, okay, and he told him. And
the same thing, nothing new.
Right, yeah. Same thing. He's going to die, whatever, if he doesn't give up to Babylon or whatever. And then he,
And Zedekiah was just like.
And Zedekiah was like, don't tell anybody what you told me.
Yeah, that tracks.
And then he was in the good prison instead of the cistern.
Right.
And that's pretty much, I think, what happened last time.
He was not in the scribe's dungeon.
No, he was in the better prison.
I'm just so excited that a scribe had a dungeon.
I'm actually really excited that he was able to keep his mouth shut long enough to not get thrown into the cistern again.
Again, for the third time.
Right.
He's been in it twice.
Because I think that was a real feat for him, actually.
Yeah, honestly.
Because he seems to not be able to do that generally.
Well, I mean, he is playing the part of a double spy, so.
I mean, that's what I think. Yeah.
I totally think that. Right. Yeah.
So that was Jeremiah chapter 38.
It sure as fuck was.
Which means that today we're getting into
Jeremiah chapter 39.
All right, let's do this.
Okie dokie.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinis. I'm Kayla Itzinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Okay, so we are hopping into Jeremiah chapter 39.
Okay.
And as per usual with this fucking book, I have some notes before we start.
Let me say something real quick before we start, because I think everybody's going to be getting this episode in the morning on Friday.
When it should be coming out Thursday.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, what we fell behind this week because of sickness and whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So, we're going to try to do another episode later today, even. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, there may be two episodes coming out today, just like there was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you are planning on keeping up this week or whatever, be prepared that there might be yet another episode coming out today later.
Thank you. Sorry. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just wanted to preface that before we started the full episode here. So.
That we are working very hard to try to catch up to where we should be.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And that being said, you said you had some notes.
I did. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jeremiah chapter 39 is numbered as...
My favorite part of every episode.
I know. Jeremiah chapter 46 in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation.
Right, right.
And also this chapter is part of that narrative that we've been discussing that consists of chapters 37 through 44.
Okay.
You know, this one little story bit that's actually kind of interesting.
Right. No, I'm enjoying the way this is being told and the way the information that they're parsing out.
Right.
So it's been a little bit more tolerable than mm-hmm. some of the other stuff in Jeremiah thus far.
Right. It's so, definitely like way better than Isaiah.
Yeah. Well, that's not hard to do.
No. The bar's on the fucking floor.
I mean, the repetitiveness is still just as bad in Jeremiah. Sure.
But this section, we've got this some
section,
good story.
This section's okay. I mean,
things are happening.
For the Bible, for a prophet story or whatever, it's better.
Caveat.
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Caveat all day.
Okay. Here we go.
Yeah.
In the 9th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah.
Uh-huh.
In the tenth month. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and besieged it.
That's right. We left off where mm-hmm. Jeremiah was in jail until they got besieged and taken over.
So that's happening.
That's happening
now.
Right now. Yeah. Okay. All right.
In the 11th year of Zedekiah.
Yeah. So like 2 months later?
In the fourth month.
Sure. Oh, in the fourth. So 6 months later.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the 9th day of the month, the city was penetrated. Yeah, it was. Then all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate.
Okay.
Okay, so this is who these guys were. Nergal Sharezer, Samgar Nebo, Sarsashim, Rabsaris, Nergal Sharezer, Rabmag, you know, with the rest of the princes of the king of Babylon.
I'm sitting here watching you try to pronounce these,
mm-hmm.
and it's entertaining just to see you, like, struggle with the names, because you're like,
you know, you're kind of an asshole.
I am.
Trying.
You are trying really hard, hard.
And I should give you. Mean.
You're doing very well.
So anyway, all those guys that I struggled over,
yes,
along with all the rest of the princes of the king of Babylon.
Sure.
So they went and they sat in the goddamn middle of the gate. They were like, boom, here's my lawn chair.
Did they sit in the middle of the gate, or did they sit at the middle gate?
Oh, they sat in the middle gate.
in the middle gate.
Probably in the middle of the middle gate.
Maybe. They sat on the side of it, but it was definitely the middle gate.
I think that they sat in the middle of it, and I'll tell you why in a minute.
Okay.
All right, yeah. So it was when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and all the men of war saw them that they fucking fled and went out of the city by night. They were like, bitch, bye, I gotta go.
Man, are these guys that terrifying?
They just fucking knocked down the walls of your city.
Well, yeah.
They're probably gonna kill you, according to Jeremiah. You're the king, and you've been like, you're like, nope, bye.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So they went out of the city by night by way of the king's garden by the gate between the two walls. And he went out by way of the plain, you know, the plain.
Yeah.
But the Chaldean army pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had captured him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, mm-hmm. to Riblah. In the land of Hamath.
Okay.
Where he pronounced judgment on him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
All okay. Right. So I have a few notes.
I bet he had some choice words to say since he was supposed to be his little, you know,
puppet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have some notes. Okay.
Yeah.
So when I said in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month.
Yeah.
That would have been about January 587 BCE.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the time period that we're discussing.
Sure.
Okay. Sure. And then further on, when it says the 11th year of Zedekiah in the 4th month, that would have been about July of 586 BCE.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. So the walls of Jerusalem were breached after 18 months of siege, and the city fell afterward completely devoid of food so that cannibalism became prevalent.
Oh, damn.
And that was a common practice. They would just sit and wait them out. Which is kind of interesting because when you think about what's happening in Gaza right now.
Yeah.
This was common. This is how they beat them. And this is what is happening.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's really disgusting to me what is happening in Gaza because, look, there's no winners in war, right? And I don't agree with. You know, fighting for whatever it does. I don't agree with war, you know, like, but there's better ways to do it than what is being done. And I mean, they literally are starving these people on purpose.
I mean, can I like have two ideas in my head at the same time, which is that what Hamas did in the first place was obviously bad and wrong.
Right.
But can I also say that genocide is way bad and way wrong.
Yeah. No, I think that's the problem is that, you know, we're not allowed to hold, like the main narrative on the media is that we're not allowed to hold these two narratives at once. Right.
No, it's only they have a right to exist and they have a right to protect themselves. And I'm like, at the cost of genocide. I don't think that is true, sir.
Right. Right.
No, nobody has the right to exist at the price of genocide.
Right.
I'm sorry. No.
Measured response, I think, is the correct words here that need to be implemented and utilized.
Like, if children were to react like this, we would teach them to do better.
Right.
You know, we would take away their toys.
Yeah.
Like, this is not okay. So anyway, I'm sorry.
Sorry, we got off on a little tangent there.
Well, when I read that, you know, the city fell afterward because they sat them out. They ringed the city. They blocked anything from coming in or out.
Yep.
And they starved them out.
Right.
And then the people inside fell to cannibalism because there was literally nothing else.
Sure. And it was a common tactic in those times. You know, like that's not an uncommon tactic back then.
And it seems that it is still a common tactic today because that is what's happening.
It's happening today. I wouldn't say that it's looked upon as a good tactic and one that should be implemented. It's not something that we think should be implemented.
It's not a humanitarian act.
No,
I will tell you that.
Not in any way whatsoever.
And in the year of our motherfucking Lord, 2024.
Not my Lord.
We should be better than this.
Mm-hmm. We definitely should
be. As a whole. So anyway, okay. When I told you that they sat in the middle gate, all those princes.
Yeah.
In a modern day setting. So if we were to like do a, you know, analogy of, you know, here's what it would mean if that happened today.
Yeah.
Okay. sitting in the gates of the city was similar to an enemy conquering Washington, D.C., and then sitting in the Oval Office. And all I could think was, but that happened on January 6th.
No, it didn't.
Okay, but similar. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
They went on the floor. Yes.
That's not anywhere near the Google office.
No, but. I know. I'm just saying, like, similar, you know?
Okay.
Like, that was the analogy that was used by the people who wrote these notes that I'm drawing from.
Sure.
But all I could think was, January 6th.
Got it.
Because they went and they sat and, you know.
Right. I just wanted to clarify that it wasn't the Oval
Office. No, I know it wasn't the fucking Oval Office. It wasn't the White House. I know that.
Okay.
I know that. It was still very.
Sure. Yes. The symbolism is very equivalent.
Once again, you know, we are seeing a similar act done today by. Right. Shitty people, shitty actors.
Yeah.
Okay. So one more note here on the capture of King Zedekiah.
Mm-hmm.
King Zedekiah. Yeah. So it was at the city of Ribla, is what I said.
Yeah, where he brought him for judgment.
Yeah. Ribla was a city on the Orontes River in Syria.
Okay.
Okay. And it was strategically located at a crossing of the major roads between Egypt and Mesopotamia.
Okay.
Okay. And he was likely like 1 hour away from safety when he got captured.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he almost made it.
Right.
About 22 years before this, so around 609 BCE,
mm-hmm.
Pharaoh Necho had brought Jehoahaz there, putting him in chains, and that was in 2 Kings, prior to taking him captive to Egypt. So, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Right.
Now Nebuchadnezzar made it his base camp for his campaigns against the Palestinian states and his seat of judgment on prisoners brought to him there.
Hmm.
So, okay. That's just a little bit of
history side notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, I just love that shit.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, he's been brought for judgment. He's captured and brought for judgment. Okay.
Sure.
Then the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes in Ribla, which. Yep. Yikes.
Right.
The king of Babylon also killed all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes. So first he made him watch his sons be killed, and then yep. he put his eyes out.
Right.
And apparently it was common for the Babylonians to blind their enemies by sticking their thumbs in their eyeballs.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And ugh. That was just the thing they did.
That's horrible.
Like, maybe we take prisoners, but we don't take them friendly.
Right.
Yeah. So then he bound him with bronze fetters to carry him off to Babylon.
Okay.
So he basically, you know, put him in chains.
Right.
And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire, because that's what burn. That's how fire burns.
Yes. Like,
They didn't
not do it with ice. It wasn't definitely wasn't ice or silly putty
or coffee.
Nope. Yeah. Nope.
They burned it with fire.
Right.
Yeah. And that they burned the houses of the people with fire and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. So whatever was still standing, they knocked that shit down too.
Yep.
Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive to Babylon the remnant of the people who remained in the city. And those who defected to him with the rest of the people who remained.
Okay.
So there were some Judeans who were like, just kidding, I'm on your team now.
Sure, sure.
Which is fair.
Yeah. Well, know? And even that's what Jeremiah has been promoting, too.
Yes.
So, I mean, there was probably at least some people that listened to him and were like, yeah, you're here. We're definitely, we'll go with you.
Nose goes.
Right.
Not it. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left in the land of Judah the poor people who had nothing and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time.
Hmm.
So he didn't leave them completely bereft.
Right. But I feel like that was more to work the fields for them.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't like giving them the fields.
No, it was. And this is your job now.
Right. Yeah.
You can eat, though. You get to live.
Yeah.
And work this land.
Sure.
So, I mean, was it cruel? It was less than murder.
It was probably no worse than what they were dealing with before.
Right. Exactly. You
know? So.
Exactly. Now we get into the next little section.
Okay.
Now, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard. So okay. The king told his guard, take him and look after him and do him no harm, but do to him just as he says to you. Okay. So he's like, take care of this guy, you know, because he's my fucking double spy. Right. Yeah. So he's like, thank you
this
for
is,
not.
This is totally vindicating everything. Right. That I thought. Like, yeah. The fact that he's like, okay. Anyway, like, I want to hear this out.
I'm really glad you didn't kill him while you were out there killing everybody. Right. Mr. Guard of mine. And also, take good care of him.
Right.
If you would,
please. I want to hear the whole thing, but like, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. He gets a little bit of a choice lot here. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent Nebushaban, Rabsaris, Nergal Sharazar, Rabmag, and all the king of Babylon's chief officers. Then they sent someone to take Jeremiah from the court of the prison and committed him to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikim, the son of Shaphan, that he should take him home. And those were people, remember, that had been friends of his.
Yeah.
So
okay.
He was like, all y'all, you know, higher uppy people, take care of him.
Sure.
Like, you get to live, and you take care of Jeremiah.
Right, right.
Okay? So he dwelt among the people. Okay. So these people, the people that he stayed, that Jeremiah was assigned to.
Yeah.
Those were people of great affluence and they had high positions, which leads me to believe that they were probably part of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. They were probably part of that whole Babylonian intrigue. You know what I mean? Like that, they were probably part of that.
These were definitely his friends and not people from... Okay.
Yes. Right. Because Ahikam, he had helped him before.
All right.
Okay. He had stood up for him before.
Okay, okay.
I don't remember what chapter that was, but
so it was there, only there two was a ago. Cohort of them that were, like, probably conspiring with Babylon to help them ease this transition, and they're getting treated well because they did.
Yes.
At least that's how I'm interpreting.
And that's what I was trying to convey, and I couldn't make the words come out right. So thank you for understanding what I was trying to convey. Yes. So that is what happened.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So let me go back to my little notes over here. Sure. And there was some question, like, how was Jeremiah known to the Babylonian authorities?
Oh, I can answer this one, I think.
It wasn't made clear in the Bible. So how?
No, but I was able to extrapolate that information from the information that was given.
Yeah.
At least before I was even told. Why that might be a thing. Mm-hmm. I guessed at it.
Yes.
And now it seems to be hitting home pretty solidly.
So do you want to know what apologists
I do. Are I do. I do want to know what the counter offer is here.
They're saying it was very likely through the Judean deserters. That they were like, oh, I am a prisoner of yours now. Oh, there goes Jeremiah. He's a prophet. He was profiting on your team.
Bullshit.
Right?
Oh, sorry. Did I? Yeah. I coughed there, I think.
Yeah. I'm like, no, they weren't. They were not excited about that.
No.
So fuck off with that bullshit.
Right.
Yeah. Miss me with that shit, as the kids say. Yeah.
The fucker was conspiring with Babylon.
Right? I was like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I don't want to judge him for doing that. Maybe he thought that was what was best for Israel, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, maybe Babylon was like.
I'm not trying to judge him for that act. I'm just saying that don't tell me he wasn't doing this because that's how the whole fucking story sounds.
Yeah. It's quite obvious.
Right.
Even though this is being told from Jeremiah, as we said in just the last chapter.
The fact that it is being told by Jeremiah.
That's what I'm saying.
Makes it even more likely that this was the case because if I'm getting that from what he's telling me.
Right. Imagine if somebody else wrote it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's literally people in Israel before they got captured throwing him in jail for thinking he's conspiring with the fucking Babylonians.
Yeah. Them guys.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So totally.
Yes.
I love these chapters now because
no, this is great.
They're making us feel smart.
Honestly.
Okay. I got to give credit where credit is due. You were the one that put this together. It just made perfect sense once you said it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, obviously.
Right.
Duh.
I mean, it's fun to just sit here and listen to this story because I have no preconceived notion as to what is going to happen or what isn't going to happen or what have you.
Right.
And so I'm just listening to you tell it to me and I'm like, that sounds like that could probably happen. Like, I love being able to comment mm-hmm. on how these things, how I see them working right. out. You know,
yeah.
I'm not always right. No. I'm probably never right. Well, I'm only half right because there's always somebody else with a different idea.
Right.
Right. But the fact that I'm not always completely wrong makes me very happy.
Yeah. No, it's the same kind of validation that I get when we think of a question and then we go and look, like I go and research it later and it's like a question that everybody's asking and I'm right. like, oh, right. okay, that makes me feel good. Like,
yeah.
we're not...
I am paying attention.
Yeah.
I am learning something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Even if it's not what the apologists want me to learn.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah. All right. So we got one little section left
here. Right,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the word of the Lord had come to Jeremiah.
I bet it did. Mm-hmm, I bet it did.
While he was shut up in the court of the prison saying, so here's God talking to Jeremiah.
Sure. This is before he got rescued by the Babylonians?
No, this is while he's being taken care of by the guys.
Oh.
So, the king of Babylon said, oh, yeah, guard, take care of him. And then the guard was like, yeah, cool, go stay with your friends.
Right, but it says while he's shut up in the court of the prison.
You're right.
Which is where he was.
Yeah, my apologies. Okay. You're right. Sorry. Okay. So, according to Baruch, according to Jeremiah, according to God, because, yeah. Baruch wrote this, right?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Maybe.
Go and speak to Abed-Melech, the Ethiopian. That's the guy that helped pull him out of the cistern.
Wait a second. Abed-Melech got saved here?
Yeah.
All right. Because this is just
this is
all
bullshit.
Coming together.
Yeah.
Like, this is all coming together exactly like I thought it might.
Because
mm-hmm. What the fuck did this guy get a mention for?
Right.
If he didn't have something to do with the whole conspiracy after all.
Right.
And I was like, at the time when they mentioned it first, I was like, he's totally part of the Team Babylonian.
The cabal.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. yeah. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. Because why is this guy the servant of the king?
He's a nobody, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry. So, I'm enjoying this immensely right now.
I know. My smile is so big. It's making my cheek muscles hurt. Go and speak to Abed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Mm-hmm. Behold, I will bring my words upon the city for adversity and not for good. Mm. And they shall be performed in that day before you. But I will deliver you in that day.
Of course he will.
Random person, says right. the Lord.
Yeah.
And you shall not be given into the hand of the men of whom you are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
For I will surely deliver you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be as a prize to you, because you have put your trust in me, says the Lord.
Wow.
The end.
That's so beautiful and amazing and so easily prophesized when you are friends with the fucking Babylonians. Such bullshit.
I know.
Like, we're supposed to take this whole book as a prophecy,
uh-huh.
and it's nothing but BS.
And when
it's propaganda. It's fucking politics. This is crap.
And when I'm reading the apologists, they're like, oh, because he trusted in the Lord and put his faith, and what a brave man. And they're like, just in love with Abed-Melech.
His team won out. That's all that happened here. Jeremiah's team won out.
You can't be that foolish. You know what I mean? Like,
sir. No, they can.
Do you think that they really believe that?
The apologists?
Yeah.
100%.
Really?
Yeah, they have to in order to keep their entire structure of their God real and relevant. They have to believe this shit. They have to believe it the way that it makes sense as to where this is the word of God. Like, they're reading this from the perspective. Like, look, we're reading it from the perspective of this is a story that we're reading and there's words on a page, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're reading it from the perspective of our God, this God that we love and worship and respect and love, and he takes care of us and we, whatever. All the things. But they have to do it from that perspective, because otherwise their entire world falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
And they just can't allow for that to happen. That's why there are apologists. Apologists are the ones that are like, this has to work. So how do we construct this the other way to make this work to where God is real? where
so they're enthusiastically trying really hard to twist their own brains into pretzels.
Yes.
I just
it's the same conversation I have with theists all the time. They work from the end product backwards to make it happen the way they wanted it to happen.
Right. Instead of just going through it for the first time ever and looking at it and being like, oh, well, obviously 2 + 2 = 4. So. Well,
and you have to, I mean, just to be fair, when you grow up indoctrinated with these beliefs and they are something that is not just a fairy tale, but something that you literally, viscerally feel and believe wholeheartedly because your entire community, your entire world believes and feels the same thing according to them. And I'm not saying everybody feels it the same way, even in the religious communities, right? Mm-hmm. But from that person's perspective, this whole world believes and feels these same things. So why wouldn't you believe that it's true? Why wouldn't you believe that you have to find a way to make it work? If you truly believe that God is real, you have to find a way to believe this book and these words and make them fit the narrative that's going to create your God as a real God that exists and is, you know,
I just have
created everything and did all the things.
I have such a hard time with this because in the apologist notes that I was reading, when they were talking about the city being starved out and the mothers resorting to cannibalism and eating their own children.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Those random people versus this random guy. You know what I mean? And right. I'm just like, how do you make that work?
You don't. You can, but you have to be looking at it from the perspective of you believe in God, right? You believe in God, so you have to believe that there is a reason why he chose why he singled this person out for mention, even though he's just a servant of a God. You know, he's an Ethiopian servant of a king that wasn't really that hell-bent on helping God or anything like that.
Right.
Why is this person being singled out, right? Mm-hmm. You have to believe that God has a purpose or you have to create something that's going to allow that person to have some higher purpose.
And just fuck all those babies and children.
Yeah.
Just fuck them.
Well, yeah.
that's what I have the problem with. I'm just like, okay.
No, sure. I agree.
Random
I agree.
Guy.
But sure. That's not what people are thinking about when they read this.
That's what I want to ask them, though. Like, what about all of those babies and children who got eaten by their own mothers?
But the answer is going to, you already know what the answer is going to be, right? What is the answer going to be?
Oh, God's plan and Lord works in mysterious ways. Exactly. And blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
I know.
There is no, you're never going to get a defined answer from them. And the only answers that we're allowed to have are the ones that God grants us, right? From their perspective, the only answers that we're allowed to have are the ones that God allow us to have.
Okay.
And that's just how it works. And we are not here to question God. And that's part of the problem with being able to break away from religion is that part of the ingrained idea of what God is doesn't allow you to question him as a legitimate being, right? That you aren't allowed to question God. God is just God.
And you're trash.
Right. Yeah.
Who the fuck are you to question God?
Right. Right.
You worm. Right?
Essentially, yes.
I mean, that's what he has called us. You footstool,
right.
Yeah. Worm.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So none of this really, what we're doing here is just a exercise in hopeful, I really do hope that we reach people, you know, not necessarily to deconvert them. I'm not here to specifically say I want to deconvert Christians, okay? That's not my goal.
Right.
If anything, my goal is to get Christians to think more evenly about what they're doing. Start asking the questions.
Right.
Why is it not okay to ask the questions? The questions are right there to be asked.
Yeah.
You should be able to ask these questions. I should be able to say these things without being called blasphemous.
Right.
It's in the fucking Bible.
Right.
You should ask these questions. They are right there in the words.
Right.
And they need to be asked and they need an answer. They deserve an answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's not for me to decide, though. And that's, you know, for the person that has their faith to decide whether or not they want question answered or they just want blind faith. So
this, just to clarify a point here, this makes it sound like I'm like bitter that Abed-Melech got saved, right?
Sure.
I'm not bitter that he got saved. I'm bitter that
the innocent people didn't. Yeah.
That is not fair.
Well, just to play devil's advocate for a second, they would say, well, how can you worry about saving everybody? People have to die at some point, right? What God obviously has some specific... I'm just playing devil's advocate here. God obviously has some specific purpose in mind for Abed-Melech. And so Abed-Melech got saved. Now, the other people, they served a purpose too, to show God's willingness to destroy even his own people as much as he loved them, but he had to prove his point for the disobedience that they showed. Now, Abed-Melech helped, even though he wasn't necessarily an Israelite, he helped Jeremiah, who was a true servant of God, and he helped him, you know, further his path. So he helped God in his mission to save Jeremiah and certain aspects of the Israelite community.
I can't either,
but I'm trying to portray it in a way that would make sense to somebody. Like, I'm trying to be fair, you know, like, if you want to look at it that way, you can. I can't look at it that way.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand how somebody could look at a baby being killed and say, it's not mine to know or question, and, you know, it's just God's plan and ineffable plan, you know, and that baby served its purpose. Like, what? You're okay with that? How?
I agree. And I would say that that kind of acceptance of babies dying is probably a main driver of people. Not a main driver, but it is definitely one reason why some people have left religion. Like, it's not okay that God kills babies willy-nilly. Like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
It is.
So you can't do that and call yourself a god. That's not okay.
Yeah. We do not approve of that, sir.
Right.
Yeah. We're better than you. Sorry.
Anyway, I think we're rambling on here.
We are.
And just kind of...
Fuck Abed-Melech is all. You know, fuck honestly.
God. Fuck God.
Okay. Fuck God and the way that he saved Abed-Melech and nobody else.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm sorry. Fuck that.
Fuck this hypothetical god. Sorry, I get carried away in our little, like, how we play into the whole thing.
But in canon, God's a dick.
In canon, God is a dick.
Okay. We'll end on that note.
Sounds good. All right. That was Jeremiah chapter 39.
Sure as fuck was.
And we're hoping to be back later today, which it might be late evening.
Mm-hmm.
But we're hoping to be back later today with the last installment for this week, which will be
Jeremiah chapter 40.
Sounds good. All right. We will see you then.
Bye.
Hey, wife. I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzenes.
Kayla Itzenes. I'm Kayla Itzenes, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.